America as we introduce the editor of Broadsheet Melbourne, Tacey Richter. Tacey, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You're going to talk food trends in Melbourne in 2016. We just had a look, Kate and I, at a list of from one particular publication of the places that you need to travel to, the life-changing places you need to travel to. And Kate agrees with it, and Scorcher and I think, no, it's tremendously weighted in favour of South America. Mm-hmm. Food trends of recent times have been about South America, haven't they?
I'd say definitely in the past couple of years, we saw what we thought was the beginning of a Peruvian food trend, which kind of has been bubbling beneath the surface. We've seen a couple of restaurants open up championing that, but it hasn't quite exploded into the mainstream.
So it's not like Mexican, isn't it? It's not. We're not going to see, you know, taco Terry's, you know, insert Peruvian name here, all over Melbourne. We saw Lady Carolina in Brunswick, East Brunswick.
Yeah, went to the center. It was good.
Which is a great one. So do you think that's a bit of a limited trend? Like, we'll see a couple of places that will be hot, but we're not going to see them on every street corner?
I don't know. I'd like to see more of it. I haven't been to South America myself, so it's something that I'd
neither
like
have
to
I.
See.
Meet Kate.
I have. So you can probably tell us about it. I mean, the experience that I've had is going to Lady Carolina, which is one of them, and another one is Pastuzo, which is in the city. Aside from that, there'd be a couple more sprinkled around the city, but it hasn't quite taken off.
Sitting in your chair last year was a very famous chef from Peru. Kate, you weren't here that day, were you?
I missed it.
And he said the number one tourist attraction in modern Peru is food.
Really?
Machu
Picchu.
It's not Machu Picchu. It's food. Sorry, I was distracted because Scorcher just whispered, Diego Muñoz was the name of the man. Number one tourist attraction in Peru was food.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not surprised, actually.
Well, wouldn't we? What would you say about Melbourne? Would you say now that it's getting to a stage where people, whether it's domestic tourists or international, maybe more domestic tourists, come to Melbourne because they hear it's a great place to come and eat and drink?
I think, yeah, absolutely.
Did they not last year list the four things that we're now a massive place for Chinese tourism? Certainly the casino is one.
Yep.
Shopping is the other. Maybe food is the other. Oh, were you able to show Tacey at some stage the food trend that we have discovered? If we give Tacey a access to a screen?
Tacey will see my screen. So what are some of the things we're expecting for 2016, Tacey?
Here we go. We want to show you. This is the food trend. How to eat Peking duck.
Should I explain what we're seeing right now? Okay, I'm watching a video. It's spectacular of a man eating Peking duck. He's moving at a rapid pace. He's holding up the pancakes in one hand, and in the other hand, he's picking up the duck in his chopsticks and shoving it in his mouth in
all
one go.
Once.
What he does is holds the pancake in front of his mouth and then picks up with his chopstick the duck and...
Oh, the duck and the cucumber and the spring onion, dips it in the sauce, the hoisin.
And then shoves it into the pancake, which goes into his mouth, and he's eating it. And he's eating about one every 5 seconds.
We'll put that on our Facebook page as well, of Movable Feast.
It's really mesmerising.
Now, is that... I mean, if I go to the outer reaches of China, am I going to discover that that's how they actually eat Peking duck,
or has this bloke
got it on his own?
No, I severely doubt that.
We're going to stick it on all our social media?
Yeah.
Our Movable Feast?
So Melbourne, 2016, what are we going to see?
I think there's a few trends that are kind of starting to emerge. One of them, what I want to talk about, is a really fun one. The first one that I've noticed for 2016, and that's... We're seeing soft serve in a new way.
Did you say self serve or soft serve?
Soft serve.
Ice cream.
Oh, really?
Soft serve.
Like the old Dairy Queen.
Yeah, well, I mean, soft serve is something I've always thought of as, you know, what you get when a Mr. Whippy van rocks up or for, I don't know, 70 cents at McDonald's. But what we're seeing now is these amazing chefs kind of take this nostalgic ice cream and make it something new. The first one that I've seen do it this year is a chef called Pierre Roloffs. He's quite well known for a series of dessert degustations he's done around the city.
So he used to run them in a cafe in Brunswick, I think.
I think in
one night
Fitzroy,
a week.
Yeah,
yeah. Thursday nights, you would just go, no bookings, line up at this cafe, and Pierre Roloff would take it over on this night, and you go in and do your three or four dessert courses.
Right,
which used to be a queue around the corner for
them. Am I getting into the cone?
I think it comes, it might come in a cup. It only started last week, so I haven't seen it myself yet. But what he's doing is he's kind of taking, you know, soft serve, and he's doing it with really good ingredients and putting all these really fun toppings on on top as well. So he's got dulce de leche and he's got vanilla meringue and I think he's got like a cheesecake puree and things. So it's kind of soft serve that you haven't had before.
Because there's something in nostalgia, isn't there?
Yes, well, I was getting nostalgic about a friend of mine I grew up with whose father said to him, when the Mr. Whippy vans run out of ice cream, it plays music.
Yes. Yes, I think kids don't think they're getting any ice cream when the van comes down playing its tune.
I figured that if trends aren't actually genuine, right, that if trends are actually people, but trends don't sort of evolve, they don't have a tipping point. Someone just goes out and says, righto, here's the new trend, it's Peru, right? Mm. That this year it will be, they'll just have to pick a different place on Earth, and it'll be something like Africa or the Middle East or somewhere like that, and that'll become the new trend.
I'd love to see African food become a trend. That's one that really hasn't come to the fore yet, except for we've seen Ethiopian food, but other than that, there's a whole continent.
You been to Africa, Kate?
No.
Oh, excellent. Let me tell you about African food. We did a broadcast from Africa 6 years ago, five and a half years ago, and we went to a restaurant. You know what it was called? Carnivore.
Oh, wow.
Right. Surprise, surprise. You could just, anything you saw on safari, you could eat.
Oh, I've heard of that. Is that in Tanzania or Kenya? Or...
No, this was in Joburg.
Oh, okay.
Undoubtedly, it'll be a chain of restaurants. And you can eat anything. Zebra, kudu.
Can I tell you a quote I read today? And it was actually, I think it was Tom Elliott's Facebook page. He was making fun of vegans this week. Right. And one of our listeners wrote in response, and I'm sure it was tongue-in-cheek, excuse me, guys, if God didn't want us to eat meat, why would he make animals out of meat? I think she's a carnivore. Can I put another possible trend to you? I'm taking a punt here. But I reckon wine bars. And it kind of feels like a lot of our restaurateurs that are you know, doing great restaurants and sort of finer food. So Andrew McConnell has just opened Marion, a wine bar in Gertrude Street there. The guys from The Town Mouse, which was quite a hit in the last year, have just opened Embla. Are we going to see more wine bars around? And is that about, you know, them just wanting to make more of the wine, or is there more of a margin in booze so it's good to run a place where alcohol is the focus and food's on the side?
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you brought it up because that was one that was also in my mind. 2015 has definitely been the year we've had such a boom in wine bars. I love it. I love drinking wine and sitting around and just snacking all night. So, and I think a lot of other people do as well. So that's absolutely something we're seeing. And you're right, Marion, the new one by Andrew McConnell, is fantastic. Embla as well. And the other thing we're seeing is kind of this hybrid between, you know, we used to separate our wine bars and our restaurants, and we're starting now to see this hybrid between the two, where you go to a wine bar and they've got these amazing chefs in the kitchen who are, you know, putting out this really high restaurant quality food.
So the food's as much an attraction as the wine.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Embla is a great example. You go and it's run by the Town Mouse guys, who are just fantastic. So you can go and have one of the best meals that you'll have in the city, but with an extraordinary wine list as
and
well.
Also then a little bit more relaxed, I think. You know, the white tablecloths are gone and you're not worried about what fork you're eating things with.
I can tell you of a trend, I just don't know how to pronounce it. Artisanal?
Yes.
Is that it?
Artisanal, yeah.
Artisanal?
Yeah.
Right, it means it's got to be made, homemade food and homemade anything.
Yes, you're right.
Like you see it absolutely
house-made.
Everywhere.
There's a place that's opened in Collingwood that I would love to check out called The Craft & Co., and basically it's like a multi-level place where they have artisanal, you know, cured meats and cheeses and a little distillery on site. They're making their own booze. This is all in one place.
Does that mean the cheese is made at that joint?
Well, yeah, I think that's the idea.
Right, okay.